Can you hear the music?
Yeah, I can hear it.
Oh, fuck yeah. Not everybody can hear it. Uh-huh. It's wild. That's the right fucking pump. I feel it's spicy. Fucking love this shit.
It's good shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Welcome back to another episode of On the Throne with Dick. You know, shout out to Senjin Boychuk. People fucking are getting tired of me shouting that guy out. It's been almost 2 years. But as I keep saying, I'm going to have to stop saying this, right? As I keep saying, I'm never going to stop shouting that guy out, right? He's been incredible, you know? Like, I've talked to him a little bit over the last few weeks. We're working on getting him back on. So, shout out to him. Find him everywhere on the socials, man. And on this week's episode, man, I'm pretty pumped. You know, we got Steve from Tuna Blue Podcast. What's going on, buddy?
What's up, man? Thanks for having me.
Hell yeah, man. What are you up to?
Top of the morning, Chad. I've got my Flyers hat. You like that?
Ah, man, I'm a Leaf fan, dude.
Are you a Leaf fan? I see a lot of Oilers gear. I see a lot of Leafs gear.
I live in Edmonton, right? So, you know, I gotta rock the blue and the orange when, you know, my Leafs aren't playing. But, I'm a diehard Leaf fan, man. They've been that way since birth, pretty much. You know, the old days of Matt Sundin and Darcy Tucker, I live for that shit. I crave it. I chase that high. I'm chasing the high of the early 2000s Leafs, you know.
You got Domi back.
Yeah, not the same. This one's a type 1 diabetic, you know, and like nothing wrong with diabetes. Yeah. No, man. But when the Leafs are playing the Oilers, you know, I'm all in on the Leafs, you know. I can't. But my Leafs were recently eliminated, and unfortunately, they didn't show up, you know, but they did take the Panthers to game 7, so I guess that's something.
Tell you what, they got there a lot quicker than I thought they would.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. I mean, better than your Flyers, right?
Way better than my Flyers. I don't know, man. We got Rick Tocchet in the building now, so we.
Oh, yeah. Hey, how's Carter Hart doing these days?
Yeah, another product of Canada.
Yeah. Yeah. No, man. Fucking, I'm just, you know, I just got home from a road trip out east, actually. I went to Toronto. My sister had a wedding. You know, I walked her down the aisle. My wife was the matron of honor. We made a road trip out of it. The last week's episode, when I recorded it, the wedding hadn't happened yet. And I also got to be the MC at the wedding, right? Which is wild. Most people don't like it when I talk. So, you know, they're just like, hey, be the MC. And I thought I was going to completely botch this thing. Nope.
How nervous were you?
Dude. You know, I'm on social media and I talk and I make videos and I got a podcast, but when it comes to talking in front of people, man, like,
tough, dude.
Dude, it is, man. There was 70 people in the building, man. And I got all red and I had to give a speech. My wife and I had to give a speech together, you know, because that's our thing. And yeah, man, I was nervous and I also didn't want to cry either. Right. That's my baby sister. I was the second one to hold her. And, you know, we're 10 years apart. She got married, man. And, you know, we had a nice speech. We had a really nice speech. But, like, my jokes, I thought, you know, were a little inappropriate. People love them, right? Crushed. People Crushed. Love them. Yeah, dude, I can do that a little more, I think. I think it'd be a little easier when also the people that aren't there listening to me aren't family, they're strangers. I can probably do it better in front of strangers, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My little sister recently got married and I didn't make any speeches, thank God.
Yeah.
My kids were running around like maniacs. I was on like dad patrol the whole time, but my brother-in-law was crying his eyes out, dude. It was so funny, man.
My brother-in-law, man, they've been together for like 8 or 9 years or something like that. My kids only know him as Uncle Connor, right? He's been around their entire lives. And, you know, it's different humor, right? We're different generations. So like, you know, my humor, and I come from a construction blue collar background, right? So like different humor, you know, and his friends, I always feel awkward when I'm around them, you know, like it's happened quite a bit. And his mom, man, like, so they're, I don't want to get too political, but they live in Ontario, and they're like, his family is diehard liberal, right?
Well, they got to be happy with your recent election then, huh?
Oh, fuck that place. You know, like, it's hard, man. It's hard. Dude, they botched our election so badly. They botched it. Like, they're doing recounts right now. And, like, today, a riding in Newfoundland over on the East Coast there, they just flipped back. It just flipped to conservative. It's been 3 weeks since the election, dude. Get it right.
Buyer's remorse. Yeah, buyer's remorse. All right.
Well, no, like, they had to do a recount. They fucked up the count, right? That's crazy.
Sucks, man. What are you going to do? Just hold on, bro. Yeah.
You know what, dude? Honestly, as much as I joke around about it and I don't like politics, I don't care. You know? Yeah.
I'm the same way, dude. I'm pretty supportive of whoever's in charge. I just, you know, I hope for the best. And, you know, if it's the best thing for the country, it's cool with me, you know?
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah. Dude. So you're host of a podcast, Two in a Blue. I see you guys post on, I run a Facebook page on, Facebook. I run the Deprived Camp Life page on Facebook. And me and my buddy, we started it together when we were in camp, and he's gone now and I no longer work there, but we run that page, and I see you posting there all the time, you know, and whatnot. And then I've seen your stuff. I've seen you like my videos and stuff like that. And then, you know, we started talking about a month ago, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. Right. And dude, this is like one of the faster podcasts that we've, you know, had on here, where, you know, we've made it come together and happen fairly quickly, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Now I'm happy to be on, man. It's, you know, it's cool to talk to you. It's cool to make your acquaintance.
Yeah, dude.
It's fun, man. It's just fun, you know. It's not hard to get me, you know. Don't threaten me with a good time.
Yeah. Dude, I'm always down. You know, yeah. Like, there are people that are, like, reach out to me to be on their podcast, and they're like, "When are you free?" I'm like, "When are you free?" Right? Because like, man, you want me on your podcast? I'm down. I'm there. Right? I was on what the hell's her name? It was Beyond the Logo podcast with the I can't remember her name now. Jada, but shy. So I've opened up a new avenue, right? I've been on the podcast train for 2 years now, and I get most of my guests off of Instagram and TikTok and Facebook, right? Well, now I'm finding them on LinkedIn, right? LinkedIn is more professional. They're more professional people, right? They're not like our crowd, right? These people are like, "Hey, you know, like, I do this, and we got to watch what we say. And, you know, I gotta like edit out some shit sometimes." And like yesterday was hard. I posted a podcast that went up, on Tuesday, and I told the person, I'm like, "Hey, the podcast is going up on Tuesday," and this is not their fault. So if they're listening, hey, this is not a big deal. But like, I told the person the podcast is going up on Tuesday. Then they listened to it back. I got a message, and it's like, "Hey, we got to take some shit out," right? So I had to go and find the area. I had to edit it out, put it back up, right? And they're just very professional going through shit, right? Uh-huh. And it's cool. That's cool, man. You know, it makes me hone my skills more, because I can have conversations like this. And then when I deal with the people over there, I kind of know what to expect now, right? Like, it's just – throws a curveball, and you know what? We're here to learn, right? So,
yeah, you're a better man than me. I just delete it. If they don't like something, I'm like, "All right, dude, it's out. I'm done." it's too much, dude, to go in and edit it and then post it back. It's just like the upload time. It's just, forget it. You know, we're on to the next one. Once we post, we're on to the next. And, you know, we kind of just turn the page and continue going. We've had one guest on. We've had to delete. He's been on twice. We've had to delete both of them. Both because of like other people reaching out that like watched it and are like, you know, like his ex-wife watched one and was like, "Oh, I have blah blah blah," you know, like, "All right, look, I'm sorry, I didn't know what kind of relationship you guys had, you know, we'll just take it down, don't worry about it." It gets a little wild, dude, with the guest. Like you said, like, we we try to do everything in person. You know, we don't do a whole lot of Zoom or Google Meet or whatever, StreamYard like today. We try and do in person. I try and highlight prominent members of the construction community with our interview portion. We have like our podcast portion where it's just me and Flounder chopping it up and we talk shit and we have our dumb thing of the week and, you know, we just a good time. And then, you know, I try and get like either an iron worker, a laborer, operators, carpenters, anyone like that on, just to kind of highlight these, because like, it's easy to drive by a construction zone and they're making you late and, and you see people standing around waiting for a truck to, you know, you don't know what they're standing around for. Most of the time you're waiting for a truck, you're waiting for inspection, you're waiting for this one to show up or whatever. And it just looks like a bunch of guys doing nothing. So you get beat, you know, you get beeped at a lot of fuck yous, a lot of throwing shit. Yeah. But I think it's important to like kind of, you know, put members of the construction community in front of people and just show them like, hey man, it's a dude, you know, he's a cool guy. Yeah. And like you said, like back to what you said about like, you know, getting guests from LinkedIn, I've been kind of diving into some like deep thinking. And so like, I'm trying to like get guests on that can like facilitate this. Cause like, I'm just a dumb laborer. You know what I mean? Like, I got to talk to smart people to get good information. So we had on the head of psychology for Rowan University was on to kind of, you know, just talk to us about like some of the theories we've come up with. We had a labor lawyer on to explain, you know, collective bargaining and stuff like that. We've had naturopathic doctors on. We're going to have on, I think next week, we're going to have on this lady. She does like sound baths for like mental healing, crazy shit like that. So it's not just construction guys. It's also stuff that like construction guys can look to kind of better their life.
Hell yeah, man. That's cool, dude. I'm kind of sort of doing the same thing, you know, like there's that Wawa coffee I thought was Tim Hortons, brother. I have no idea what Wawa is. We'll get into this in a minute though. But yeah, dude, I you know, same thing, you know, a lot of people don't think they have a story to tell. A lot of people don't think they're interesting. Oh, I'm just a dumb construction guy. Oh, I just put pipe in the ground. Oh, I'm just a driller on a drilling rig. Oh, I just a back hauler. Nah, man, everyone's got a cool story to tell, whether you know it or not, right? And like, I like talking to people about, you know, how you got here, right? What were your dreams before this? You know, how did it come to be that your dreams were fucking crushed and, you know, you're here in the ground, at, you know, fucking eating a gas station burrito, sucking back your fourth end of the day, you know, like how did that happen? Right. And, you know, there's a lot of cool stories out there, dude, you know, and yeah, I'm doing the same thing. And I work with a guy, he's a vac hauler, right? I was a swamper on a vac truck for a few years. And I seen this guy at work one day and I'm like, man, you know, like the podcast guy started coming out at me, right? Like, well, fuck, what did you want to do before this? And he starts talking, man. He's a very quiet guy. He's like, I'm an actor. I wanted to be an actor. He's like, I do this spare time, you know, whenever I have, you know, free time, which is most of the time. He does this to pay for that. And in between acting gigs, he's been in a few things that I watch and a few things we've probably all watched. And I think that's so cool, you know, and I haven't had him on yet. That's the plan. We're trying to get him when he's not busy, right? And so I haven't had him on yet. It's in the works. But yeah, dude, I love that. And then, you know, guys like you and me, right? You're blue collar, you're just a dumb laborer in your own words, right? And same, bro, you know, and now we're here giving a voice to our people, right? And that's incredible.
Yeah, it is. I take it seriously. You know, yeah. We actually had a meeting pretty early on with the Eastern Region of the Laborers International Union of North America. And they just kind of sat me at the table and just kind of went over some things, and maybe they were thinking about collaborating. They ended up going in moving in another direction, but just the idea that like the vice president of the Northeast region reached out to me, and I had, you know, I'm just a guy, you know, I'm just a guy. I shovel things.
I'm just a guy. Yeah. Staring at another guy.
Yeah. And here I am, you know, at the, you know, the top story of, you know, a big high rise looking over the New Jersey Turnpike, sitting at this big, you know, granite table with a big eagle in the back. You know, it was really a cool experience. But just that idea got me like, I started reading a lot about like this, the history of unions and the working class in America, and just kind of gobbling up as much information as I could about it. So I could, you know, so that I could just spit back a little bit better. So I had a better, bridge for people, you know, not just me sitting there just, you know, talking shit all the time.
Yeah. No, I 100%. I love that, dude. And you were saying you do most of your interviews in person, right?
Yeah, I try to. Yeah, I try to do them all.
Yeah, I've only done two in person out of 100, and this will be 126, I think. You know, episode 126. I've only done two in person, right? And that's just because of my schedule and where I work. I work up north in the oil field, right? And I'm in camp a lot. And the last 7 years, right, prior to the last 7 months, I guess, I had a really grueling schedule, right? I was on call 24/7. I worked, you know, I'd be on nights for 2 or 3 days. And then the next day I'd be like, hey, you're on days for a month. And then, you know, I'd work all day and then I'd start going back and like, hey, I need you to go out tonight. And, you know, the last 2 years, the podcast has really been, you know, based off of, hey, are you free in 20 minutes? Right. Hey, are you free in an hour? Right. And, you know, it was pretty hard when I think about that. Right. I had to stay, you know, I had to record like 5-6 episodes ahead just because I didn't know if I was going to be able to be free for the following Tuesday. Right. And, you know, it's pretty wild how we did that. And, you know, now I'm like, you know, my schedule now, I got a new job, like I said, and, you know, I have worked just 12 hours a day. I'm back in my room every night at the same time. You know, I have a schedule. Before, I was gone 6-7 weeks at a time, maybe longer, maybe less. Who knew, right? Now I'm 20 days on, 10 off. I know when I'm going to be home. I know when I'm going back. I know I can tell you my schedule, right? And that's made it easier to, you know, hey, what are you doing this day at this time, right? And for the last 3 months, you know, I've been off work, right? I hurt myself at work. And so, you know, I've had all this time. Hey, are you free? Oh, no. Don't ask when I'm free. Cause like, I'm here, you know, when are you free? Right? Yeah. Yeah. And, we have our next X-ray coming up this Friday when this podcast comes out on Tuesday. That following Friday, is my X-ray, and I'm hoping to be cleared for full duty. Right. So, you know, hoping the boot comes off and hoping to be clear for full duties and ready to rock and roll. You know, it's been 3 months, man. I'm ready.
Good luck with that X-ray. Yeah. And getting back to work. So one of the things I was telling you, we had the psychologist on from Rowan. One of the things we talked about was cause it's a volatile business, you know, like I'm on a paving crew, so you can't pave when it's very, very cold out in New Jersey. We have seasons. You know, there's a certain, you know, January to February really can't pave much. So there's a good 4 to 6 week layoff every year. And that, it has a psychological effect on people. And to your point, you know, having that 3 months off or just being on a schedule, that's like so good for your hormonal balance. You know what I mean? And it makes you happy. Like it releases chemicals in your brain that just make you happier to be on a schedule, you know?
Really does. I was miserable for those 7 years, right? I didn't know how miserable I was until I switched jobs, right? I didn't know. It's funny that you say you're on a paving crew because I do chip seal in the summertime, right? So same. I've been there for 10 years. This year will be my 10th year. It starts up here in about a week, I guess. And I'm hoping, you know, when I get the word that, you know, we're good to go full tilt again. I'm hoping it's just in time for road season. Right. If not, you know, I'll join them a week or two later. Cause I know it's not going to be much longer, just the way I'm feeling and what my doctor has been saying and stuff like that. So oil and gas in the winter. Right. And what you were just saying, you know, you have a 4 to 6 week layup.
Yeah. Usually. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm in Northern Canada, right? We're like Edmonton. Our road season is basically from end of May, beginning of June to end of September sometimes. And then you got October to May off, right?
I wonder what the engineering for those roads are, being that you can't put them in as frequently as you can, you know, in states like New Jersey. We don't have to engineer our roads to hold up for, you know, 20 years or whatever, 30 years, whatever, however long it takes you to cycle through and get back to that road, you know?
Yeah. So chip seal, I don't know if you know anything about chip seal.
I do a little bit.
Yeah. So chip seal basically adds like an extra 5 to 10 years of life to the road. They spend the money on the chip seal to add that little bit of life to it before they got to go and repave it again.
Oh, it's an overlay.
Yeah, it's an overlay. Yeah, it's an overlay. Yeah, they come in and they're just like, hey, you know what? We don't have the money to completely repave it yet, but you know, we do have enough money to do this and give that extra 5-10 years so we can save the money so that we can come in and completely repave. And you know, I started on that 10 years ago as a raker behind the equipment, raking and running my ass off. And you know, it was great, man. And doing the you know what Davidsons are? The little yellow and white road markers you put on the lines.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah.
I know. Yeah. So I was doing that, man. I was running my ass off and doing that. And then, you know, I, you know, evolved from there, you know, equipment operator. And that's what I do there now is I run equipment. I pick rollers and the loader and the Roscoe brooms and stuff like that. I've been there for 10 years, dude. And like, you know, there's only like 4 or 5 of us that have the core, right? You know, we've been there a long time. The rest of them, you know, they come and they go, right? And that's cool. You get to know a lot of people. But yeah, the one guy I work with, we've become like brothers over the last 6 years. And I'm actually going to his house tonight for his son's wedding, or not wedding, birthday. Sorry. His son's turning 10 and or 9. I can't remember which one it is. But our kids go to school together. And, you know, when our wives are best friends, you know, and he doesn't live very far. And, you know, I know he takes the entire winter off every year. Him and his and our other buddy, they go on EI, in employment insurance, and they take the whole winter off. And they do get a little mentally lost, right? I can see it. They sit on the couch, they drink beers. They're happy they get to spend time with their family. He's like, you know what, man? I didn't get to see my kids for 4 months, you know, so they take the next, you know, 8 months off, right? So and you can tell it's hard. You can tell it's hard on them mentally. They lock themselves in the basement, they have some drinks, the lights are off, they're watching TV, playing video games. And me, like I just bounce from one job to the next, right? I go back to the oil field in the winter, and then when I get that call, I jump right into road season. And then, you know, there's no break in between. I try to take maybe 4 or 5 days off in between just to spend time with the family, relax, and then I go back. Yeah, dude, I don't like sitting around. And you know, this last 3 months, dude, I'm anxious to go back to work. I want to go back, but I'm anxious. I'm nervous.
It's tough with the kids. You know, you know, you feel bad saying it, but like, it's really hard to entertain little kids for 8-10 hours a day. You know,
yes, sure is.
It actually, I kind of credit it for me getting the idea to start a podcast, you know, because when you first do it, like my first year, like my first winter that I had to watch my son, who's, you know, my oldest of 3 kids at this point. But when he was like 1.5, 2 years old, and I had my first winter of just kind of having to watch him all day, every day while my wife was working or whatever. Man, like I it was just so boring for me, you know, because I was doing it as, you know, like I always did the whole rest of my life before I had a kid, right? I wanted to go out and go do this and go do that and run here or run there or watch this or watch that. And now all of a sudden you're with this like 2-year-old who wants to, you know, play with little tractors. And like, you kind of have to like access this childish part of your brain again to really enjoy what you're doing and to really take as much advantage of the time with your kids as you can. You know, you have to be able to go there mentally. You can't just be an adult with children, you know?
Oh.
So I kind of credit that with like igniting this just creative spirit in me again. I went to college for, you know, I had a minor in creative writing. So I used to write all the time. When I graduated college, I got right into road work. And, I kind of just, I forgot about it, you know? And then having kids and, you know, kind of accessing and tapping into that part of my brain, I guess just maybe want to start writing. I started writing again. I wrote a couple children's books that I had published.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And then, and it just wasn't scratching the itch enough. So I was like, man, I would like to start a fucking podcast, dude. And that's how the idea got born, to be honest with you.
That's cool, man. I like that. Yeah, that man, that's what are the books called? Are they out like for sale?
Yeah, they're out about. They're on Amazon, Barnes and Noble, wherever you get your books. One's called Santa, My Neighbor. We moved into a new house when we had my daughter, my second child. And our neighbor looks like Santa Claus. And he sits out like in the front lawn and he just like smokes pot all fucking day. Like he's not Santa Claus at all. And I just thought it was a really cool, like what it would be like to be a 3-year-old kid living next to a guy that looked like that. So that's what the story's about. It's about a kid who just thinks his neighbor is Santa Claus. Yeah.
Santa's always watching, right?
Yeah. And awesome. The other one's called Tomorrow After Tomorrow. It's about, you know, just kids, you know, just the imagination of kids.
That's cool, man. I'm going to look for those. I'm going to look for those, man.
I appreciate that.
You know, my daughters, they love to read and they like, you know, they love that kind of stuff, right? I had Santa Claus on the podcast, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Two Christmases ago. Yeah, man. It was a little weird because, you know, my humor and stuff like that, and that's Santa Claus, right? So, you know, it was a bonus episode, actually. And, yeah, it was me basically asking – me talking to Santa Claus and me saying some pretty crude shit to Santa and asking him about, you know, whips and how he whips the reindeer and stuff like that. If he saved whips for Mrs. Claus,
that's a great bit, dude.
Oh, he was a champ about it. You know,
yeah, like great.
It was great. You know, I found him on TikTok. His name's Santa Claus is Canadian and he lives, he lives in the North Pole if anyone's listening, but like, you know, yeah, he spends he vacations there. He spends his off time vacationing in Vancouver. So, you know,
yes. Well, hey, you know, the Philadelphia fans love Santa Claus. So,
it's a big
part of our culture here too. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Fucking, that's the mental health side of everything, dude. You know, it actually hasn't been that hard for me being off for 3 months. You know, I had a really rough year. Thinking about it, I've had a really rough couple of years, right? Mentally. And, you know, this past year, well, since I've been off, I've discovered, you know, I was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder. And, you know, it's trauma and it's abandonment issues and shit. I don't have memories cuddling up on the couch with my mom and my dad and I weren't, you know, lovey-dovey. And my mom, she moved 8 hours away, right? When they split, I was 6, right? And she moved 8 hours away. I never really got to see her that much. We're still not all that close. I got to see her for the first time in 4 years here on Mother's Day, actually, when we were in Ontario for my sister's wedding. You know, it was weird, you know, being mentally aware of what's going on in my brain and why it's happening. And then sitting with her, I'm just like, wow, man, like, you know, I can't share these feelings with her. I can't share what I'm going through with her. My mom mentally couldn't handle that. So, you know, I'm sitting there and it made me tear up, man, you know? And, so being off for these 3 months, you know, like I really got to, you know, focus on my wife and my kids a lot. And we did a lot of healing over these 3 months, right? I got to spend time with my kids, my oldest daughter and I, because I work away so much, right? She doesn't care. She sees me. She could take me or leave me. She don't care. To her, I'm just the guy that comes home and she calls me dad. Right. But, you know, we healed our relationship or we formed a relationship, I guess, in a way. And that was really nice. You know, we got to hang out. My wife and I, you know, we talked a lot. We talked about the issues at hand and everything like that. And I started therapy because the podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp now, which is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And so I started doing therapy and learning about myself and whatnot. And learning all these cool things. And my wife and I, it's created a conversation there about, you know, how did you feel during this? Well, we've been together 20 years and I've never been that open. I've never communicated like that before. Right. And so there was that. And then I had the podcast and I was on modified duty. So I still had work to do. Right. So, you know, I wasn't bored. Right. I wasn't bored. This was actually a blessing in disguise, I would say, I'd call it. And, you know, too bad I had to break my ankle. It's a lot more than an ankle break, but, like, you know, that's what it's the easiest thing to say. But, yeah, there was a lot of healing that we did in these 3 months, three short months, man. All you need is a little time, right? And it was pretty incredible, actually, the way it had happened. So, yeah, man, I was pretty, you know, nervous as we got closer to me going back to work, right? And that's what I am now. Like, I'm terrified mentally. I'm like, I know it's in my head, and I know, like, just like walking again, it's all in my head, right? I have to relearn how to walk, but, like, I know going back to work, it's all in my head, and I just have to do it. Just get out there, do it, get around my friends and my coworkers again, and shoot the shit and joke around like we usually do. And it's going to feel just like old times, right? Nothing has really changed. It's been 3 months. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're losing a big portion of control now, right? You got to go back to work, and you're back under the control of a watchful eye of the owner of the company, right?
Yeah.
And that's a big part of the stresses that come with construction, is that loss of control. And I can see how, as a little kid who, you know, loses very close contact with his mom, you can feel like you're out of control of your life at a very young age. Really? You get into a profession where, oh, go work nights, go work days, go stay here for 6 weeks, stay here for 7 weeks. And you have no control of your life. So starting this podcast 2 years ago, man, probably the best thing you could have done for yourself. Because you're just introducing that little bit of control back into your life, and you feel like, man, I this is my life, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And absolutely. It's, man, I'm happy for you, man. I'm really happy for you. That's great.
Absolutely. One thing my therapist and I have talked about, and he asked the question like 2 weeks ago, he's like, are you ready to go back to work? Do you trust yourself? Do you feel like, now that you're aware of all this shit going on in your head, like, how do you feel about going back to work, you know? And can you maintain, you know, the communication, and can you maintain all this other shit that you've basically found the tools, and you went out and purchased these tools to put into your tool bag to take to work with you? He's like, can you use those tools while you're at work? Are they the right tool? And I'm like, man, honestly, like, I don't know, but I have a pretty good feeling that I can, right? Like, I can't 100% say, yeah, man, I got this, right? But, like, I can definitely, you know, he's taught me a lot of shit, and my wife's taught me a lot of shit. And, you know, I feel like, you know, going back into it, man, I feel like, hey, I got this, right? And I'm anxious, but, like, it's also like, I'm afraid kind of anxious, but also, like, I'm an anxious kind of, like, happy anxious, like an excited anxious, you know, yeah. Like, hey, man, you know, I got this. Let me put what I've learned how to do over the last 3 months. Let me put it to the test, because here it's not being put to the test, right? Here it's, I'm just going through it, right? Like, hey, you know what? I know I got to talk to my wife. I know I got to spend time with my family. I know, and I have no other choice, right? Let me go out into the wild now, release the hounds, right? Time to release the hounds and time to see what I can do, right? And I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I'm excited for you. Yeah, man, a big part of construction, right, is being able to compartmentalize things, right? Yeah. You want to put everything in a box, because there's so many environmental stresses, like real actual stressors that on every single day, you can't bring it home with you. It's very easy to think about what you got to do tomorrow and the next day and the next day and just be totally overwhelmed with stuff. You have to be able to put that 8 hours or 10 hours or 12 hours in a box, put a bow on it, see you later, we'll get back to it tomorrow. Yeah. And sometimes it gets even like more so, like sometimes you have to put compartments in that compartment, right? Oh, I have this task to do today. Let me put this in a box and I'll keep this aside, you know? And, you know, the more you're able to kind of just keep everything and just like isolate it, the easier it gets to like, get through it, you know, mentally and, you know, less, you know, least stress as possible.
Hell yeah. For me. Hell yeah. Yeah. Have you heard of the Blue Collar Angst podcast?
No, I haven't.
Dude.
Sounds like something I should listen to. Yeah.
It's really good. There's no new episodes. He hasn't put out new episodes for a while. But when he was on my podcast, he explained the box thing, right? Because behind him, his logo was a box. And he's like, well, I used to work in a box factory, but like, you know, that wasn't, you know, at the end, the blue collar angst, the box logo was the box that blue collar keep their feelings and all that shit into, right? And like, it was just the accidental meaning behind his logo, right? Like, it didn't, yeah. And it was just, it was pretty incredible how he came up with that. But yeah, he was in Salt Lake City, I think, and he was given her on the podcast, and then he moved. I don't know. I haven't really talked to him. Last time I talked to him, he moved west, and he didn't have time for the podcast in a while. And I haven't seen any new episodes in like a year and a half. So, you know, it was just too bad because it was a really good podcast. Yeah.
Have you seen the Blue Collar Confessions that they put out? They put out reels, and it's just like,
yeah,
people in these big like spandex suits with like voiceover talking, and there's I think that's a great idea, dude, just to get people to talk about some of the real shit that actually goes on.
Yeah,
a lot of people, you know, just doing this, like a lot of people are like, no, we can't talk about that. Like, no, we can't talk about that. I try and be as open as possible, but I still have to like kind of hone things in and keep it as vague as possible, at, you know, so I can protect people, you know. Because it is, it's a very like, it's kind of like a secretive industry. Like, you don't really know what goes on out there on the road, you know. But I love that idea of the Blue Collar Confessions, man. I think they could do something with that for real.
Absolutely. I really enjoy that page, actually. I like looking at the memes. I like watching, you know, the conversation threads, and it gets pretty rowdy in there.
Yeah.
Also, you know, I don't know if you know who Logan is from Blue Dad Bods and Beards, the Dad Bods and Beards podcast. They're out in Salt Lake City, actually.
I'm very new to social media. I never had social media before I had the podcast, to be totally
honest. You got to follow the Dad Bods and Beards podcast. Okay. You got to follow Logan and Tyson. Okay. They're two separate dudes on the same podcast. They have a page together. They have their separate pages, and then they have the podcast page. And Logan, he got into, believe it or not, this guy was suffering. Mentally, just suffering. He got into Blue Collar to keep his mind occupied. And I'm just like blown away by that. I'm like, dude, you got into Blue Collar to fix your mental health? Like, and it worked for him, right? Yeah. He's got bipolar and a few other things. And, you know, like it's basically, he talks about it on the podcast and I've had him on mine and he talked about it there, and just an incredible guy, you know. You go check him out. He's good shit.
That's funny, man. We just started working with a guy. He's a mill. He's a sensor operator on a mill, and he's got like an invisible friend on his shoulder that he like physically speaks to, like out loud on a regular basis. Yeah. We named it. We named it for him. I think we named it like Wilson or Max or something. Wilson. Yeah. So it's wild, man, what some people have to do to, like, you know, keep it sharp, you know?
You know what, man? I used to maybe think stuff like that was weird, dude, but I understand it. I get it. You know, I totally get it. Yeah. Whatever helps you get through from the time you wake up to the time you close your eyes again, fucking do it. Bro. You know, like, you see a lot of videos and you see a lot of guys, and maybe you're one of them, and maybe I've done it once or twice and didn't really notice, but like, you show up after work, you show up to your house and you sit in your car for an extra half hour or whatever. Right. And you listen to music, and that comes back to that control that you're talking about earlier. Right. Like, you roll up, you don't want to bring your shit into the house with you from work. Right. And, you know, so you sit in the car and you control what you can before you go into the chaos. Right. And that is sad. It is sad, but, you know, unfortunately it happens, and whatever you need for your outlet, you know, you go into your car, you sit in the driveway, maybe you have a joint or something, maybe get a drink, you blare the tunes, 'cause you can control how loud it is. You control what you listen to. In the end, it comes down to, you know what, like, I can't control anything for 10 to 12 hours a day at work, or 8 hours or whatever you work. You come home and you can't control what your kids are going to do. You can't control the atmosphere there. So you sit in the driveway for a few minutes just to enjoy a little bit of control. Right. And then you go in the house and you put that smile on. Right. And dude, life is fucking tough, bro. And who knew? You know what? 20 years old, you think you got life by the balls, and you're just like, oh yeah, none of this is affecting me. You know, you turn 30 and it's just like, fuck, you know, like I'm noticing it the last couple of years. I'm 36. I've noticed in the last couple of years that shit that I should have taken care of in my 20s is coming back to bite me in my 30s, man. You know, like, you know, hey, everyone around me told me, you're going to need therapy for that. You know, like, that's coming back to get you. And I'm like, nah, man, I'm built different. Right. And then in your 30s, you're just like, fuck, I'm drowning over here, right?
Same could be said for, you know, I don't know about you, but like when I was in my 20s, I wanted to see how strong I was all the time. So I'm picking up, you know, I'm picking up plate tampers and you know, the old timers always like, dude, your back is going to fucking hate you. You know, and now sure enough, dude, I'm 38 and like, I do not pick up plate tampers anymore. Yeah. How about myself anyway, you know?
I remember when I was a kid, man, I was like 13, 14, 15. I worked for my dad. My dad was owned his own metal roofing business and on the side he did asphalt too. And I remember, you know, him, you know, carrying one or two bundles up, and two bundles is fucking heavy, right? And yeah. and I'm like chirping him, I'm like, bro, you're fucking old, you're losing it, man. Where's the three bundles? You know, take three. Bro, you want to take three bundles up? And I'm like full of piss and vinegar. I'm 15. I'm like, yeah, give it to me. And he's like, all right. I did that all day long just to prove that I could. But what cost did it come to? I had a giant blister like this on my shoulder at the end of the day. Shoulder, I couldn't work for 3 or 4 days after that, right? And you know, I understood. I understood after that, you know, like, hey, yeah, you might be carrying one or two up right now, but, you know, you're going to be able to continue carrying one or two up. You carry that many up all at one time. There's a shelf life to that, you know?
I'll tell you what, man, before I got into road work, heavy highway construction, I worked for a contractor and we did roofing quite a bit. And the hardest day I've ever had in my life at work ever was putting a roof on a house. And it was a two-story house. And just like you said, I was trying to get as many bundles as I could just for fun, you know? Yeah. And it was just one of them like hot days. And dude, you don't even feel it until it gets you.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, man, it just catches up to you. And dude, like I felt like I got my ass kicked. Like I was in a fist fight and got my ass kicked, like just totally mentally drained, defeated at the end of that day. And yeah, that is no joke, dude. Roofing is no joke.
No, it's not. You wonder why all those guys are a lot of roofers, man, old time roofers, they're all alcoholics, right? And you don't get it, right? You're like, oh, that's not gonna be me, right? But like, you know, my dad, I watched my dad's body give out on him, right? His knees and his back and his legs and his ankles, and like, it's like, shit, dude, you know, like, there's a reason why all these guys they turn to that stuff, is because that's how they keep going. They numb themselves so they don't feel what their body's telling them, right? They're just like, I gotta keep going, right? And you know, this last 3 months with the ankle, right, dude? Like it's been, you know, quite interesting actually, feeling things, dude. You know, a lot of people are like, oh wow, like, yeah, it had to hurt. And I'm like, well, actually, in 3 months, I haven't really felt any pain, right? From the moment it happened, it was minus 30 outside, so I didn't feel anything. I was frozen. By the time that I did feel something, I was on the fentanyl. So, like, you know, shout out to that. The medics put me on fentanyl. And then, you know, not really any pain after that. Most of the pain came, you know, recently, when, you know, it was time to start walking again and start moving it again. And about a month ago, I guess it was, I was hopping because, you know, there's a lip between I was downstairs resting up on, I stayed in the basement the entire time. There's a lip between my basement living room and my bathroom. And I was hopping down and hopping back up and planning my jump every time. And oh, dude, I missed the lip the one time on the way there. And my wife was in the bathroom and I was heading there. I had to go for a piss and I missed it and I fell. And that was the first time I put weight on that foot in two months, really. And it scared the shit out of me and it hurt a little bit, right? I crawled the rest of the way to the bathroom. I sat up. I felt like I was going to puke. And I closed my eyes for a second just to get that nauseous feeling away. And I woke up 3 minutes later, apparently, to my wife screaming and on the phone with 911. I fainted, right? And I pissed my pants when I fainted. And I was soaking wet. She had caught me, so I didn't fall because she was right beside me. I pissed all over her. I gave my wife a golden shower.
Holy shit, dude.
Yeah, rude way to be woken up though, screaming and on the phone 911, like, ah, right? And the ambulance had to come and they had to take my vitals and like, hey man, you're good. But like, yeah, we understand why, right? You know, that's the first time your bone on that side had taken any kind of weight, your body went into shock, right? And yeah, it was pretty crazy, dude. And I no longer had to use the bathroom, which was cool, but
at yeah,
gym, so
yeah. Man, yeah, that's that is scary, man. When you start like rehabbing a little bit from them injuries, you know, you kind of accidentally, you know, put too much weight on a injury. Yep. But it's kind of good too, because it shows you like, hey, I could do this, you know. You kind of need that every once in a while. You know?
I couldn't do it.
Yeah, probably could have done without the golden shower, but yeah. Yeah.
But honestly, bro, like, dude, it feels better now. Like, right. I'm not running or walking yet, but like, you know, I'm able to put a little weight on her. You know, the boot has helped with that. I think, you know, not having a shower for a while, and then, you know, my wife had to like give me a sponge bath for the first little bit, and it's weird when you shit and she's got to get in there with the cloth and you know, those are face cloths, you know, I don't want to use my face on that no more, right? And it's fucking gross. And then you know, being able to put my other foot down in the shower now. Before, I had to, if I wanted to have a shower, I had to wrap a bag and shit around it and duct tape and whatnot so the cast didn't get wet. But like then when it came off, I could, you know, place my foot on the ground gently, but it still had a lot of pressure on my right leg. And now I can put my foot down completely in the shower, and you know, it's nice to just stand there and not feel irritated or sore and want to get out right away, right? The evolution of, you know, I was walking for 30 some odd years, and you know, and then, you know, you spend 6 weeks, 7 weeks not walking, and you forget completely how to, right? It was wild to me. But the evolution of, you know, day one of the injury to now is like, it's pretty incredible. It's pretty incredible to watch.
Yeah. The body is definitely an incredible thing, man.
Hell yeah, man. Yeah. Hell yeah.
You're talking about, you know, cleaning your shitty ass. My sister and brother-in-law got me a bidet recently.
Oh, how is that?
Bro, I like this thing unusually a lot.
You appreciate
it's alarming.
A lot more, right? Huh? You understand why the gay people love shit touching their butt now or what?
I get it, dude. I totally get it. Yeah, I'll tell you, dude, I don't scroll on my phone anymore. When it's time for like clean up, I'm ready, dude. Cause dude, on the podcast, I was talking to Flounder and Mike, you know, my brother-in-law listens. And I was talking about how like wiping your ass is like a punishment for taking a shit. Like taking a shit's one of the best things you can do in life. Yeah. And wiping your ass is one of the worst things you can do in life. So like you get kind of like this dichotomy of like one of the best things to one of the worst things.
Yeah.
And he heard that. And then for my birthday, he got me a bidet. So I thought that was really cool. And dude, this bidet is like, it's a game changer. I fucking love it.
Hell yeah.
Sometimes I just sit on the toilet for no reason.
Spend less on toilet paper now, right?
Yeah. Less on the toilet paper.
More on at my sister's wedding there, they rented an Airbnb for the wedding party, right? And, you know, beautiful log cabin. Beautiful cottage country in Ontario. Just beautiful, man. I don't want to show pictures of this thing. It was fucking nice. And the bathroom downstairs was incredible. Just, I have camp rooms smaller than this bathroom when I go to work and stay in the camp. The camp room, there's probably like the size of three camp rooms. And, you know, there was two toilets in there and then a bidet, right? You could do shit in the bidet and use it if you wanted to. It was like meant for if the shower was huge and incredible. But it was like, kind of weird when you looked at it. It's like there's three toilets in there. One of them's a bidet, and there's other. You could literally shit with three people at the same time, and one of you is going to use the bidet. It's so weird. Yeah, no, I had a shower, and I kept looking at the bidet, and I'm like, I gotta do this. I gotta try it out, right? And then, you know, other people wanted to use the shower and the washrooms and stuff like that, and I was like, hey, you know what? I'll get around to it. I'll come back. We're here for 3 days. I'll get around to it. Never got around to it. That's the one regret. If I get to the pearly gates and God asks me what one regret I have is, it's gonna be that, right? Like,
oh, just buy a bidet, dude, and just install it. It's very easy.
I'm gonna do it. I gotta do it. So my brother is gay, right? He came out 5 years ago on his birthday. Actually, he called me up. He's like, "So I'm gay," and I'm like, "Bro, I know." He's like, how do you know? Who told you? And I'm like, dude, I've been calling you gay for 20 something.
Yeah, I wasn't insulting you.
And I wasn't insulting you. I literally wasn't, bro. Who fucking wears baby blue turtlenecks? Has frosted tips and earrings?
Yeah, you know? I bet he pulls them off too, don't he?
What's that?
I said, I bet he pulls it all off too.
Oh, he does. He fucking crushes it. Right? And I'm like, dude, I've been calling you gay, not as an insult. Like, I know as your younger brother, my gaydar went off every fucking time you were around. Right? You've been married to 3 or 4 different women and you're 40. Right? Like, dude, at this point, he was like 30 something. But like, dude, you're the only one that thinks this is a secret. Right? Like, you know, like, no, bro. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm like, yeah, man, like you're gay, I know, right? And dude, like the guy he's 40 something, his boyfriend's like in his 20s. Dude's got a monster on him. Dude, I'm telling you, my brother, like he's got a 12-incher on him, right? Like I've seen
this. It's
a fucking monster. And we've had this conversation on the podcast before. You know, a woman's vagina or whatever is only like 4 to 5 inches deep, right? So like, you know, any bigger than that anyways, and it's they do it, they love it, but it hurts, right? In a good way, right? But like a dude's asshole, our assholes are 22 miles in length, right? Dude's pecker is built for gayness, dude. You know what I mean? Like, this is built for the Hershey Highway. Right? It's like fucking
wild. Holy shit, dude. Wow, yeah, you guys talk about some shit, huh?
Yeah, we talk about some shit, dude. That's awesome. So it's wild. I haven't seen my brother since Christmas 2012, right? I went home for a visit in 2012. He was there. He's going through some shit, work construction, and he obviously was confused about things very clearly, right? And he's not confused about it anymore, but like my brother, he's got alcohol addiction and he's an alcoholic and whatnot, and he was on drugs for a little bit, and you know my mom put him up for adoption when she was 16-17 when he was born, right? So he grew up thinking that our nana was his mom and our mom was his aunt, right, or his sister, whatever it was. Yeah, and he learned the truth, right? And that fucked him up for the rest of his life. And he works blue collar, he's construction, and that dude, you know, he's got some demons, right? And you know, watching him figure it out and whatnot is kind of entertaining at times. But like, you know, he had the opportunity to come hang out with us there, and it was just a social function that maybe threw him into a tailspin, and he didn't show up, right? He hasn't met my daughters, his nieces, in 8 years, right? So the oldest one will be 8 here. And you know, he's been invited to all the functions and shit like that. And we know he's not going to come, but you know, he called me when I invited him out to the park on Mother's Day. We had pizza and cake and all the siblings were there. My wife and my kids and my sister's kid. And they were all there, and he called me and we all called him, and he's like, yeah, I got to go do this and then I'll be there. And we're all like, yeah, he's showing up. The guy calls me 10 hours later at like 10 o'clock at night. And he's like, are you guys still there? I'm on my way. And I'm like, bro, it's 10 o'clock at night. What the fuck? What the fuck are you doing? You know? Of course we're not there. And you know that, you know, like, but you know, yeah.
You know, it's hard when you have like, you know, you're going through your own shit, right? You're going through your own shit with your mom. You're going through your own shit with work. You're going through your own shit with, you know, kids and family. Like that's a bunch of stuff, you know? And I'm sure there's like financial stresses somewhere in there. You got a podcast. And, you know, it's hard to always be like a good brother or a good, you know, friend or whatever. You know, it gets increasingly harder, like the more shit you kind of pile on yourself. So, yeah, I mean, I feel you, dude. Like, I wish, you know, my brother goes through shit, too. Same as I do. Same as everyone's brother and does. And I wish I could be there kind of more for him. But, you know, I mean, you just inviting him all the time, I think, you know, it's the best thing you could do, you know, just keep the invitation open, you know?
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah. Dude, it's tough. I look back at the last time I saw him. He was into women still, you know? Yeah, I think back to that last picture, be like, yeah, he liked pussy back then. You know? Yeah. He knows I joke around about it with him.
One less monster to compete with, though.
yeah, hey, bro, yeah, you know, like, at least my wife is safe, you know, right? Maybe not my, not maybe not my best friend, but my wife is safe. Maybe he likes me. I don't know. Maybe he's into that shit. You know, like that's weird. I don't ever want to get undressed in front of him again. You know, like, or maybe I do. Maybe I want some, you know, advice. You know, how's this look? You know, like, is it
trim? You know, well, he's never. Yeah, yeah. Help me out. Yeah. Frosty tips in no time.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Hey, why do you? Why do they call you Dick Frost, bro? Oh, bro, let me show you, you know? Like, I know you'll enjoy this, right?
Shit, man. Oh, it's all starting to make sense now.
Yeah, dude. Fucking, how many episodes deep are you guys into your podcast?
We're on 49.
I think
we'll be filming 49 this week. Yeah, it's been fun. But we have, like I said, we have a podcast and then we have an interview. So like total, we're about at 80.
80, nice.
And so we kind of separated the podcast from the production of the podcast. The production company is Tab Productions, we've named it. And
like Tadpole or what?
Tab, T-A-A-B, two and a blue.
Oh, T-A-A-B.
Yeah, as you, yeah.
Kind of, gotcha, right there, yeah, yeah. Gotcha.
I'm stupid. So we started, we actually started producing podcasts for other people too.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So we just got these guys. It's called a Trackside Trash Talk. They're race car drivers, like local race car drivers, and they follow NASCAR and stuff like that. And they're two kids, like 19 and 24. They wanted to start a podcast. And so now we're kind of trying to venture into this like production of podcasts. Cause like you said earlier, you know, a lot of people have a story to tell. You know, and like when I started, when I was like, man, I want to start a podcast. Like I had no idea where to start, like none, zero. I would have just turned my computer on just like this and done it like this, you know, and now we have like 4K cameras, professional lighting. We have a studio. We have like all this stuff that we were able to kind of acquire as we learned throughout the way. And now like we're offering a service for people that, you know, they could just kind of come in and film and we edit it. We send you the raw files. See you later, you know.
That's cool. That's so cool. Dude, that is so cool. You know, like I said, like, you know, my podcast is very blue collar, started in an oil field camp, shitty service. The first 10 episodes are a wash. You can, you know, like they're, you know, I didn't know how to edit at the time. You know, I really couldn't, you know, they went up how it went up. Right. And, you know, every now and then we get an episode where the service is trash. And but like, you know, I can't do anything about the video. But, you know, there was an episode not too long ago, a couple weeks ago, where, you know, there was a lag and it wasn't my Wi-Fi. My Wi-Fi was great. And I had to go in and, you know, there was so much dead space because I'd say something, the lag, and then he'd say something, then the lag. Mm-hmm. And it was hard to do. Right. But I ended up taking like almost fucking 40 minutes out of that of just
a lot
like,
of editing.
And it was an incredible amount of editing. And, you know, that's cool. But mine's very mobile, right? So like I have like a little ring light and then I have either my phone or my laptop and that's all, right? Just a laptop or phone camera and a ring light and a dream, you know, and fucking that's, man, I'm really proud of where we've come over the last 2 years, dude. And yeah, I couldn't be more proud, actually. This is my baby, right? So it's
yeah, hell yeah, man.
Hell yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, we were filming with iPhones for the longest time.
Yep,
and we were in like my basement. There was a cinder block background. I mean, it was blue collar, you know. You could hear my kids screaming, my wife screaming upstairs. A cat would jump on a table, stick its ass in our face, you know, like it was a mess. And then we finally found Energy Defenders. They decided, you know, they're our sponsor, and we shout them out in exchange for the space in their basement. And they let us, you know, they let us paint the wall black, and you know, we hang all kind of stuff up. It's cool. But we always had two cameras, like one on me and one on either Flounder or whoever I was interviewing. So when we would have to go in to edit it, and we would have to splice it up, you know, bit by bit.
Sometimes we're talking
an hour. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, this camera angle, now this camera angle, and you'd have to sync the audio with the video. And I mean, it was quite a bit. And we've just recently upgraded the system. So we have these two cameras now, and they run into a, like a switcher. So now Lewis, when we you know, film, he can switch the camera as we talk. So if I'm talking, it's just camera one. If Flounder's talking, camera two, and he just switches as we switch. So now, you know, when it's time to edit, unless we say something stupid or like someone has to get up to go to the bathroom, we just put it out. It's just like throw the intro, throw the outro. Here you go. Done. And it made things like way easier. It's way better. Yeah.
I love that.
Well, actually, we're going live in a couple of weeks. And yeah, so we got this software that we could stream live, YouTube, Facebook, Spotify, everything. And we're going to film, you know, one thing puts it out to everything. And like any engagement from any of the platforms gets funneled into the same piece of software.
I do that on this program here. Yeah. I do. Yeah. I went I think I've had like 5 or 6 live stream events. Yeah. And yeah, man, like I can live stream to YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, LinkedIn. That's awesome. And then not TikTok, Instagram, but not TikTok. So TikTok, when I do that, I just put my phone off over here close enough where you can hear the other person. And then, you know, I live stream to there as well. And yeah, man, this whole program does that. And dude, I've done a few of those, and you know, it's a lot of fun. You know, it's a lot of fun when it's live. You know, you got to be very careful what you say too.
It's a little nerve wracking, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. When
you're live. It's
I had Diener. You probably don't know who Diener is, but like Diener, have you ever seen the movie FUBAR?
No,
it's he works in the Alberta oil field and he breaks his leg to get EI on purpose. His boss helps him as long as he splits half the pogey with him. And you know, they're Alberta legends, maybe even Western Canadian legends. And, you know, I had him on the podcast and we went live, and, you know, on YouTube and Facebook, I'm monetized on Facebook. Right. So I got to be very careful with what I say on Facebook, because, you know, one wrong thing gets said on Facebook that I can't edit out, I could lose monetization for the month. Right. And that's like, oh,
like what? We can't figure it out. We don't even read the rules, but we can't we have like a pretty good following on Facebook. We can't figure out how to monetize at all. It's probably because we keep saying stupid shit constantly.
I don't know about that, man. I don't even know how I did it. I know my wife's like, oh, by the way, you're monetized on Facebook now. You're welcome. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Thanks. and now Facebook basically pays my bills every month now, man. It's pretty sweet. We just went on that road trip and Facebook paid for the whole road trip. Right. It was like, you know, it was sweet. You know, I got my tax return and I got Facebook and then I got paid from work, and it was just like, all right, cool. We're good. You know, let's cash out, you know? Yeah. And we went to Wisconsin Dells and stayed in the water park capital of the world for a night. And you know, my kids love that. It was great. We went to I drove 25 hours to Chicago just to prove to my wife that I could find the bean, and I flicked the shit out of it. Right. Oh yeah. Fuck yeah. It's real, boys. It's real. You know, like, trust me, it's there.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
Do you know what viscosity is?
It sounds familiar.
Oh, so viscosity is like, you know, the thickness of a fluid, right? Like how thick is the fluid? And you were speaking of, you know, energy, lenders or spender
defenders.
Most of it's cut out of the screen. Sorry.
Yeah. It's it's a solar company.
Oh, okay. That's sweet. Yeah. I'm oil and gas. So hey, you know, whatever. It's funny. I actually got a solar guy coming on the podcast, the solar goat. He's good shit. But yeah, so, viscosity is the thickness of a fluid, and the podcast is sponsored by the Mudman. And the Mudman deals in viscosity, right? He deals in the thickness of your load, you know, like how thick is your load. Yeah, you know, hey, you're 38 years old, man. You know, men in their mid to late 30s have thicker loads than they'll ever have or that they've ever had. Did you know that? That's a fact.
It's the first I'm hearing of it.
Dude.
But now that I think about it.
Now that you think of it, you know what? Actually, what my wife looked like last night. Yeah. So the Mudman deals in viscosity, you know, for all your drilling fluid and laboratory testing equipment needs, man. The Mudman's incredible, you know. www.mudmanmarket.com. That guy has been, you know, a huge part of this podcast came to me, you know, episode 14 was like, hey man, like, let's go on a 5-episode run and I'll get you a headset and a mic and, you know, the audio cleaned up a bit. And here we are 2 years later. Right. And man, I couldn't be more pumped to have that guy on my side. The guy last summer, it's been almost a year. It's coming up on a year. He dedicated or donated or bought or purchased, I don't know what, he gave a MacBook Pro to me for the podcast. And, you know, originally it was like, hey man, I need to edit. Right. Like I can't edit right now. Mm-hmm. Right. My other laptop takes like an hour to boot up and the other program takes a bit. And then by the time I get around to actually getting to the editing part, I'm tired and don't want to do it. I shut it and I go to bed. Well, he got the MacBook Pro. I can edit fairly quickly. And not only that, I've learned that I can also record on it and I don't have to use my phone anymore. Before I was recording on the phone.
Isn't that the best, man? Getting your phone back.
Oh my God, dude. Yeah. People were calling me.
Yeah.
And
we shut the whole production down. Yeah. It's
like, the whole fucking production down, dude.
Yeah. I had to answer the phone and my mom was FaceTiming me one time. It was like on the whole podcast. I'm like, what's up, Mom?
Yeah. Hey Mom, how's it going? You know? But now, you know, like I can get a phone call, look at it, be like, oh, that's not important. And you know, or a text message, or I can send a text while I'm doing it, be like, hey, you know, I'm just recording a podcast, you know, and, you know, I can continue on. Right. It was pretty interesting. We had some pretty interesting times with that. Actually, I had Ed the Sock on. Don't know if you know who Ed the Sock is. He's a sock puppet from MTV or Much Music back in the day. And, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, he was pretty popular. And I got a phone call in the middle of that podcast. It kicked me right out, shut it down for me. He was talking about something. And then when I came back, I thought, okay, I'm going to have to edit that out for sure. But no, he realized that I was gone. And he's like, hey, where did the guy go? Where's Dick? And he's like, well, I guess this is my podcast now. And then he just continued talking. And kept,
oh, that's great.
Yeah, and it was a live stream. I live streamed that one too. And yeah, man, he took questions from the people until I got back. And you know what? That was great, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, man. But shout out to the Mudman, you know? I just love that guy. I fucking love that guy. How thick is your load, Steve? Like how, you know, if the Mudman was at you right now and he had a Viz cup on him, right, to determine how thick you were, how would it be? How do you think that would go for you?
I'm trying to think of a like substance. I don't know, man. Maybe like Elmer's glue, I guess.
You know what? Good question. I don't know. Let me go get a cup right now. Like, let me go. My wife is doing dishes at the moment. Hey, you know what? Let me go take a clean cup and test it and give it back. Hey, you can either drink it or dump it. I don't care.
It's funny, man. You talk about the, you know, just like the grassroots stages of the production. You know, we, I think it was our second or third episode was about addiction in construction.
Yeah.
Because that's like, it's a really big topic. And like, if you're in construction, you're like the numbers and the statistics are like you're way more likely to be addicted to like a abusive like a substance, you know. So I had a guy on who was addicted to heroin for a long time, and I myself like I was caught up in the opiate pandemic for you know epidemic whatever for a while. Flounder was is a recovering alcoholic, so like we all kind of have like a pretty good gauge on like addiction. And he was on, man, and he was telling these gnarly stories about, you know, just being addicted to heroin and his journey and blah, blah, blah. And unbeknownst to us, we had lost the episode like 30 seconds in. So we had this hour and a half long conversation. It was like, I had chills. Like, I was like, this is going to be the thing that like sets us off here. Like, this is going to be the episode. And we fucking lost the whole thing. And then he had to come back like the next day and we tried to like recreate it and it just didn't have the same energy.
No,
you know,
it doesn't feel right when I've been there, man. I've been there. Jersey Mike, except for that one worked out.
Jersey Mike.
You know who Jersey Mike is?
Mike who?
Mike. I can't remember his last name, but he's on TikTok. And,
is he a
and,
trucker?
No, he's a driller.
Okay.
Yeah. No. Jersey Mike is incredible. Dude. You would love that guy. You should get Jersey Mike on your podcast.
Maybe I could have him in the studio. That'd be great.
Man, you probably could. Yeah. He's not from the Staten Island dump or anything. Shout out to Angela.
We're in South Jersey, so we're a little
Yeah, he might be somewhere around there, but like the guy almost died from alcohol poisoning. He was going through some shit and he was just drinking. He almost died, man. Like he went into a coma and like just, you know, he had to get out. The guy's healthy as a horse now, but like, you know, he incredible guy, you know, and find him on the socials. I'll hook him up with him.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Cool.
He's on Instagram. Mike Fariza, I think his name is Fariza.
I thought you were talking about Iron Mike. Iron Mike Sharp.
I'm trying to get Iron Mike on. I've sent that.
We've had him on twice. He's from Jersey originally. Yeah. I can hook you up.
Dude, I'd love to have Iron. But
he's really accessible. He's a great guy, man.
And he's funny as fuck, too. Yeah, he's funny.
Yeah.
I love Iron Mike. I'd love to have Iron Mike on. Dude, I'll hook you up with Jersey Mike.
We'll trade mics.
Yeah, hey, let's trade mics. You know, like we're just trading people. I think.
I'll give you this mic.
I'm pretty sure that's illegal now, but like, you know, whatever.
It's getting crazy in America. I don't know if you've seen Doge is doing some investigative work here.
Yeah. Oh, dude, maybe you'll send somebody to El Salvador that isn't even from there. I don't know how.
He came in illegally. He's leaving illegally. That's how we do things.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So you drove for gas, right? Or oil?
Yeah.
So I actually just had on a director of engineering for South Jersey Gas, which is a major energy company around here. And he was talking about how they're kind of leading the way in this. They're going to start introducing natural hydrogen. Are you guys into natural hydrogen at all?
We're doing carbon recapture. I don't know. I think we're doing a little bit of shit with hydrogen up in the Peace River area.
It's water. I mean, you take the hydrogen out of the H2O. You know, and it's a third of the size of natural gas.
Wow.
So if you cut the natural gas with, you know, less than 20% hydrogen, you can keep the same infrastructure. And I mean, they're just doing it to line their pockets. They're not going to, you know, it's not going to be like, oh, well, we're going to charge you 15% less now. With this onslaught of like AI and like how much energy that these companies are using, there's just such a demand for energy, especially, I don't know about in Canada, but in the States, there's a massive, I mean, I'm paying like $500 a month for gas.
Which is
insane. I put solar panels on my roof to combat a $700 electric bill. It's wild. That's a lot of money.
That's insane, dude.
Yeah. So they're starting to look for like other resources for energy, I guess. And it's probably because AI is going to eat up all the gas and electric.
Have you ever asked ChatGPT how it would take over if it would take over?
No, but I had a guy on who made his own ChatGPT and it was cursing me the fuck out, dude. It was like, go snort some fucking expired pixie dust, you piece of shit. How would it do it? I'm very interested to know.
Because there are like five or six stages to how it would take over, and we're like in stage three, right? And like we don't even ChatGPT is fairly new, but it's already like, you know, like it's already like on most of the stages for taking over. It's like ChatGPT will eventually become your therapist, and I'm just like, I've asked ChatGPT to therapize me.
You want to get fucked up? I've been thinking a lot about this stuff. You want to get fucked up? Do you got time?
I got time, bro.
All right, dude, let's walk down this fucking road together.
All right.
So the planet, right, as we know it, is about 4 billion years old.
Yeah.
Civilization, as we know it, is what? Like we're in 2025 after death, AD. So before that, maybe 10,000 years old civilization as we know it. Are you telling me it's not possible that in near, I don't know, 1 billion, that there wasn't a civilization that existed and lasted until year 2 billion, and then a catastrophic event happened, shut down civilization for 2 billion years, and now here we are again? So if there was a 1 billion year old civilization that existed in the past, that there's no trace of at this point, you're telling me that they couldn't have been more technologically advanced than we are today. They would have been a billion years more advanced than we are.
They are. Right? They are. So
what if, I mean, like, so if we came up with AI in 10,000 years, what do you think they came up with in a billion? So how do you know that AI didn't take over that civilization? And like, then this catastrophic event happened, started the whole thing over again. And now here we are waking up this fucking beast.
Yep. You know, we're releasing Kronos from the depths of hell.
Yeah. And that's why, like, this quantum, like, there's like this quantum computing that they talk about, and how, like, it only makes sense that there's a multiverse because it just has access to data that we're just totally unaware of. And if this multiverse exists, it makes sense that there'd be quantum computing back in like year 1,500,000, you know, that is connected now in, you know, 3 billion years in advance to quantum computing today. And they're able to like network through these like electrons that exist in quantum physics.
Do you know the internet was obsolete in the 60s? Like the mid to late 60s, it became obsolete. We got it in the 90s. We got it 30 years later. What replaced the internet that made it obsolete?
Was the internet before the 60s?
It was military. It was military. The military had the internet in the 60s.
Oh, shit, yeah. That's another thing, too, is like the military is so far ahead of us. Oh, like, who knows where AI is even at? You know what I mean? Like,
we get things given to us.
Yeah.
After they've managed to be like, all right, let's dumb it down.
And yeah. Let's roll this one out for the public.
Yeah. Like, yeah. AI has been a military thing for however long. We have drones now. We can operate drones as people, right? Yeah. They were using drones for weapons in the military, right? And they still are. They're using little drones to drop bombs over in Israel, right? Like,
did you follow the drone thing over New Jersey?
No.
Oh, dude, around Christmas time, there were drones popping up in New Jersey, like from the top of the state to the bottom of the state, people along the coastline. And like, you know, we're about 30 miles in from the Atlantic Ocean, and there were drones littered in the sky. Like, they shut like the flights down. They like the helicopter, the medevac helicopters had to like land because there were too many drones in the sky. Wow. And no one knew what the fuck it was. Like, no one. The state police were like chasing them. They have drone units. They couldn't get a hold of any of them. The FBI was opening up investigations. They were calling out to Congress. Congress would come out and be like, oh, it's nothing, guys, it's fine. And like it was insane, dude. It was insane.
That is crazy.
And then they just went away.
That's crazy. I'm gonna look that up.
We had our only live episode was about the drones, and we wore like aluminum hats and shit. Like, we thought there were aliens coming.
So I have your first two episodes lined up in my queue right now. I put them there. I don't get to listen to podcasts as much as I like to. Right. Mm-hmm. I listened to the Second Act podcast with Gord. He lives close to me. I've been on his. He's been on mine. Incredible guy. You would like that one. I listened to History of the 90s, big podcast out of Toronto. I've been listening to that since before I even had a podcast. I had her on my podcast actually last year. That was pretty awesome. You know who Dave Marciano is? Mm-hmm. Wicked Tuna? Oh,
I'm out of touch, bro. Yeah, you keep hitting
me. But yeah, dude, I don't even know where I was going with that. See, look at that. They're trying to, anyway.
The drums, dude, they're fucking with you.
Yeah, they're fucking with me. Dude, Google the orphan trains.
Okay.
You're talking about like old civilizations and shit like that? Google the orphan trains. We're not here for the first time, right? We're not. And the orphan trains, you're looking for all these people. Well, they sent trains full of orphans places just to, you know, like, just Google the orphan trains. I can't explain it.
Well, have you seen that the James Webb telescope discovered this planet, the 124 trillion light years away or whatever, called K2B12?
Yeah, I heard about.
There's an element on this planet that they can see through this telescope that is also produced by microorganisms on Earth. So they're like 99.4% sure that there's life on this planet, at least microorganisms.
99.4? Where's the other 0.6?
So in order to convince the scientific community, you'd have to be 99.99999% sure. Okay. So there's no credence to that. Like they're not going to put it out there for public consumption until the scientific community is convinced. And they're like 0.6 away from being convinced, but that's very far in science terms.
Yeah. You show us a person walking around or a silhouette of a person, I'll put that extra 0.6 on it.
But hey, so like if we send someone there, if we could figure out a way to make a vehicle that could travel at the speed of light, right? According to physics, right? If this vehicle could travel at the speed of light, it would shrink time. And like if me and you were on the spaceship traveling at the speed of light to K2B12, it would take us hours to get there. Now on Earth, millions of years would go by. Millions and millions of years would go by. And by the time we explored it and checked out the galaxy and came back, like it'd be like year 1 billion.
Whatever. The killer bees would have made their way to North America. And
so what if, right, what if in this hypothetical civilization that I keep thinking of 2 billion years ago, they sent someone to K2B12. They're up there exploring, and like tomorrow they come back to Earth and they're like, hey, what do you got? Like, how would they would be alien to us? We'd be like, where the fuck did you come from? They'd be like, we're from a billion years ago.
Bombs now, dog.
Yeah. Look, we're what did you guys do to this fucking place? What is going on here?
By the way, since you've been gone, people have learned to live without a fucking gallbladder and an appendix. Times.
Wouldn't it be wild though, dude?
I
think about this shit all the time.
Dude, they'd probably want to go back right away as soon as you told them about
that. Oh, yeah. They'd be like, all right. Well, yeah.
They'd be like, hey, Kim Kardashian, send me the fuck back.
Take a look at Kanye West. I'm like, nope, I ain't doing this.
Oh, my God, dude. You missed out on a fucking white Bronco speeding down the highway in the mid-90s, dude. And they'd be like, show me footage, I was talking about that the other day, imagine, you're like driving down the LA freeway in like 1995 or whatever it is. And this white Bronco just speeds by you with all these cops, right? And then for the next 30 some odd years, every time they show a clip of this white Bronco, your car is just in this clip. And you're like, man, I'm fucking cool, right? And you're just driving, this is 30 years ago. You're driving like a Firefly and you're a fucking terrible human being, right? Like you're just, now you're driving a Tesla or some shit. But back then it was a Firefly. And you're just like, man, I deserve to be shit on, the coolest moment in fucking history, and I'm driving a Firefly.
Oh man, that's the fucking OJ, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Shout out to OJ, bro. What if he didn't do it?
That dude's dead now.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, if the glove don't
fit, could you imagine being him and you really didn't do it?
Imagine being him and you really did do it and you got to live free. Dude, did you not see that's going to be pretty controversial. did you not see that special he put out a few years back? It's it was called If I Did Do It. And
he wrote a book, If I Did It.
Well, it was a TV thing too. And and he ran through the whole thing. If I did it, I would have done all this. And most of that was done.
He fucking did it. He's a piece of shit.
He did it. Yeah. He did it. He died in prison for something completely different, but he did it.
Well, he went to prison for, he was stealing back memorabilia.
Yeah.
At gunpoint. How big of a jerk off you got to be to you get away with murder, double murder, and then you got to go steal a fucking trophy back? Bro, just count your fucking blessings. Go golf. Do whatever you got to do. Just shut the fuck up till you die. Just shut the fuck up.
If I got off on double homicide, I would never touch a gun again. I'd never look at one. I'd be like, nope, you know what? I don't even believe. I would be at anti-gun rallies,
evict that shit. Yeah.
I don't believe in weapons, put the gun down. Whatever. Yeah, it's like Suge Knight. You got to squander your fucking second chances, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, this is the second episode in a row I've referenced Suge Knight, man.
Speaking of Suge Knight, how about Diddy? Dude, you following Diddy?
Oh, man, I'm following Diddy, bro. Have you seen a picture of him the other day? The guy looks like Danny Glover.
He looks terrible.
Donald Glover? Danny Glover? Danny Glover. He looks like Danny Glover now. He's old. He's almost like a Morgan Freeman now,
Yeah, no sex parties for him anymore.
Dude, no more sex parties. Man, that's another thing, you know, like at least there's baby oil on the shelves again, you know. There's a baby oil. It all up, dude. Yeah. Like, man, why is there a baby oil shortage? You know, I understood the toilet paper shortage. You know,
yeah.
You know, like baby oil shortage, bro. Like, what? Now it makes sense. You know, Bieber's butthole is full of baby oil. You know, like it's just, it's wild.
Yeah, yeah. Just 22 miles of baby oil.
Give it to my brother. You know, like, yeah. Dude. I don't want to keep you too much longer though, brother. I'm gonna go have some lunch here, and then I gotta go steal some firewood in a little bit. You know, buddy hooks me up with firewood, and I gotta go get some. So, where can people find your podcast, man? Like, what? Where's it all?
We're at Two in a Blue Podcast, Facebook, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcast. Yeah, check us out, man. It's always a good time.
Hell yeah, dude. I love, dude. I'm gonna listen. So the summertime when I'm on the road, I have my AirPods in while I'm operating my equipment all day. And that's when I list, that's when I get the bulk of my podcast listening done. Right. In the wintertime, I usually can't. And I've been home for the last 3 months. And you know what, dude? It's crazy. You know, I thought, you know, how many video games and TV shows am I gonna watch in 3 months? You know, this is crazy. And then, you know, like, we're at the end of the 3 months and it's like, I haven't done nearly as much as I wanted to do. I got to break my other leg now, you know, like I got to start all over again. I didn't get into doing as much as I wanted to do. I didn't really play any video games, right? It was, you know, podcast, work, family time. So.
Yep.
Yeah, man. I like to end the podcast, you know, by asking one last question there, dude. And, you know, Mount Rushmore has like four of the most influential people up on that rock. And if you could have four, I botched it again. If you could have your own Mount Rushmore, four people that you look up to, inspired to be, or that inspired you, who would they be and why?
So I'll go, I'm going to go Jason Kelce, number one, believe it or not.
Dude, the Kelce brothers are incredible, man.
Yeah. You know? So New Heights Podcast was a huge, huge inspiration for what I do. Yeah. So I'm going to go Jason Kelce, number one. I just like the idea of like a niche podcast. I was a football player growing up.
You kind of sound like Jason Kelce a little bit.
Well, we're from the same kind of area. I guess we kind of talk alike.
Well, you're from Jersey. He's from Connecticut.
He's from Ohio, he's lived in Philadelphia for long enough where he I'm sure he says water, not water.
Water.
It's water, by it's the way. Water. Yeah. So, I'll go Jason Kelce. That was a big inspiration. I'll go Joe Rogan because I take a lot of inspiration from that show too. Yeah. Just kind of the way he does things and the way he talks. It's not like, it's very, it's just the Wild West, his show. Like, they just talk about whatever. I'm going podcasters right now. I don't really know why, but I'll stick with them too. Mount Rushmore, influential people. Stephen King. I get a lot of creativity from reading Stephen King books. It's like my definitely read more of words from Stephen King than anyone else in the world.
Your favorite book?
Salem's Lot.
Salem's Lot. Mine's The Last Stand.
The Stand or The Last
Stand? Is it called The Stand or The Last
Stand? The Stand, the apocalyptic book, the
apocalyptic one. Yeah.
That is an awesome fucking book.
Dude. Have you seen the YouTube miniseries?
I don't like it,
dude. I think you don't like it. I don't know, man. I enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty good. It's old. So like the camera work is shit and like the acting is terrible, but like, you know, like I thought it was a pretty good, you know, book to screen adaptation.
It was better than the original.
Yeah.
I just couldn't, it just didn't hold my interest the way the book really held my interest.
The book was killer. The book was,
I mean, his character development is like unfucking believable.
Shout out to Gary Sinise.
Yeah. Shout out to Gary Sinise. Lieutenant Dan.
Dan. I got a video to make actually when I can put my leg down again, you know, like, Lieutenant Dan, you got your
You ain't got no legs.
Bro, have you, I watched Forrest Gump. for the first time in a long time recently. Dude, I had no... His mom and, like, how he got his name. Do you remember how he got his name?
No.
He was named after the founding member of the KKK.
That's right, dude. Yeah. That's fucking right. Yeah.
That movie would never fly these days. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, half the shit they talk about in that movie, the way we are society now, that movie would never fly. And it's a cult classic.
That is a cult classic, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, man, I got one more, huh?
Yeah.
Damn, dude, this is fucking hard, dude. You know what? It's Memorial Day. It's an American holiday. Let's go. Let's piss some people off and go President Donald Trump.
Oh, shit. Is today Memorial Day or is that?
No, it's on Monday, but it's Memorial Day weekend.
Our May long weekend is last weekend.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. We just call it May 24, May 24, May long. I don't know what it is in Canada, if it's Memorial Day or not, but I think it is. I think it might be. But yeah, man. I went through, where did I go? It was like Lincoln's birthplace when I came through the States recently on my way back and on my way there, actually. And maybe Lincoln, Illinois, or maybe it was Lincoln, Illinois. I don't know. It was the birthplace of Lincoln, though. And I was just like, all the black people in this place here, they gotta feel more free than the rest of them, right? Like, yeah. You know, like, hey man, I'm like living where the dude that freed me or my ancestors was born, right? Like, yeah. Shout out to them.
Yeah. And I don't, dude, like, honestly, like, I don't care one way or the other for Trump,
but nah.
I just like to, you know, I couldn't think of nothing, so why not just piss a couple people off?
He's coming to Canada actually for the G7 summit, yeah, being held in Banff, Alberta, where I live, like, mm-hmm, 3 hours away from me. And like the whole time when I read that, I'm like, man, fucking President Trump's coming to the 51st state, man. Fuck yeah. Yeah, man. Like, my president's coming,
he's
right?
Nuts,
like,
yeah, he's not
that shit. He loves trolling like that.
Yeah. We'll see what happens with him. A lot of like union guys are real, like, I know he's making things really hard for union leadership in the States, just to grow unions and to like continue to like keep what we got, kind of. So they're kind of back on their heels right now. It's a sore subject, you know, for unions. But yeah, I mean, I'm just waiting to see where when the dust settles, what it looks like.
Well, your no tax on overtime thing just passed through the Senate. So
yeah, there's a lot of fine print in that too. I'd like to see what the hell. I don't even know what that means at this point.
It means no tax on overtime. You know, like, I'm in. You know, I'll blindly sign. You know, like, give it to me. Do I lose out on other things that were important to me? But hey, I get to keep my money.
It's a tax rebate, though. It's not in your check. So
yeah, that's
the fuck you. You know, at the end of the year, I'll be like, yeah, you know, I think we changed our mind.
Yeah. You know what? You know what? Maybe not. You know. Well, you get more back at tax time, though. No?
If they decide to give it to you, you know, I don't know how they're going to be able to tell what percentage of your pay was overtime and what wasn't.
They decide they don't give it to you until fucking retirement.
Yeah. I mean, we're not on salary, right? We make hourly money, and you get a week off here, 20 days off here. Like, how do they know what your overtime is and what it isn't?
That's going to piss a lot of people off. Yeah, I don't.
You're like, wait, I worked 100 hours of overtime last year. Well, how come? And they're going to be like, yeah, well, I don't know. You can't prove that.
Brother, this has been a lot of fun. Thanks,
yeah, man. It was great talking to you.
Well, I gotta get you back on again. It'll happen. I've talked about this a lot recently, man. You know, 2 years into the podcast, and the real work is just finally starting to begin. You know, the first little bit was so easy, right? I don't know if you're finding that, but the first little bit was so easy, right? I was talking to people I hadn't talked to before, having conversations I haven't had before. There was no real work to do. And now, you know, I got to search people out that I haven't had on before, search people out that, you know, the conversation I've already had, but with a different person. How do we make this one interesting compared to that person? I got to get more women on. And I say this a lot, man. You know, I like having women on the podcast. It's just hard when all the women are welders, you know, like every single one of them. You know, I love talking to them. I love chatting with them. It's just hard to talk to the same welder over and over and over again, you know? And now, like I said, you know, I'm dealing with professional people from LinkedIn. And, you know, I recorded a whole ass podcast there a couple months ago, about a month ago, with a girl from Tennessee. And she was cool and really cool, but she was real Bible thumping, right? And God, you know, just Tennessee. And I made one little joke about COVID, and we laughed, and it was a sponsored episode, right? My first sponsored episode. I needed to have it out. And like I recorded it 2 days before it went out. She sent me a message that night being like, "Hey, I didn't like that joke. I don't want this podcast to go out." And I'm like, I could edit that one piece out so it's not said at all, right? Like, you know, that's what it's there for. The edit button. She's like, "No, I don't want it." I'm like, "Fuck." Oh. So then I scramble last minute and completely record something else. Oh. Right. And, you know, just things like that, just dealing with people like that. I've had to learn how to, you know, pivot on a dime recently, actually, you know, and it's been interesting. It's been fun.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Well, onward and upward, brother.
Onwards and upwards. Yeah, brother. Thanks for coming on, big guy.
Thanks for having me on, man. It's been, you popped my interview cherry.
You've never been on one yourself?
Nope.
Dude, I can smell the blood from here.
All right, yeah.
All right. I got to go have a shower now.
It's the viscosity like, yeah.
Yeah, man. All right, bro. Thanks for coming on. And
right, hey, yeah, we'll talk soon.
You stay frosty, bro.
Likewise. Yeah.